the becoming comfortable with being uncomfortable, becoming comfortable with letting go of who we thought we were, conditioned to think we were, to now be who we're designed to be really, truly better than we've ever been. So no matter what you've been through, how can you make the learning and the value greater than any cost? And the two key ingredients when I work with myself or somebody else is a willingness that to really become different and better for what you're seeking, and readiness to let go.
Most of my listeners have heard of the amazing antioxidant and immunity building benefits of C60, but what you may not know is how amazing black seed oil is as a carrier for C60. Black seed oil has been called the miracle herb by the National Health Institute because of all the health benefits, such as anti-inflammatory, anti-diabetic, and so much more. That is why I personally take the ultra pure 99.99% C60 in black seed oil. It's now available in gel caps, so no more slurping down that disgusting oil. Listeners can get Live Longer Labs' patented Ultra Pure No Solvent C60 at exclusive discounted prices now at my shop. Go to sarahwestell.com under shop and learn more.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This episode, I have Kim Conrad coming to the show. It's just perfect for the holidays because she's going to be talking about how she transformed her life three times. And I think everybody has something they can connect to with this episode. And she was a contributor to the best-selling book, Chicken Soup for the Soul, Recovering from a Traumatic Brain Injury. And I think that's what put her on the map. And she did a TED Talk and talked about recovering from this traumatic brain injury. But she's also had two other times that she's completely transformed her life, and how she looks at things not from a victim, but can do, I can do this, and constantly looking at things from a different perspective. And she talks about these different perspectives and different language, how you approach things with different language, and how language makes you look at things different, you're not a victim, things aren't a problem, things like that. And it's all about how you starting at home, starting from you changing it. And we get into the politics at the end of identity politics and how that's tearing us apart, and it's about dividing and conquering us, and how societies don't survive being divided. The ones that are work together and find unity are the ones that are the strongest. And that happens with everything, your family, with whatever you're doing. And then for my patrons, she sticks around because this is a hard time for many, the holidays, Christmas, New Year's, and people, it can be the hardest time for some people. So she talks about how to get through that, how to turn the holidays into a happy experience, or at least something that you can turn into something of benefit to you. Personally, I love the holidays. I love to see my family. I love to see my children. But for some people, it's very difficult. And at times, it's difficult. We have a pretty challenging family at times. We're all very opinionated. And so there can be challenges, too, for us. But I think we've grown a lot. But I do recognize that others, some pretty challenging situations that they're going through, and how to turn that into a positive thing. So that's for my patrons. And you can get that on my Patreon channel, and the link is below. For those listening in audio, it's patreon.com, Sarah Westall. And I want to tell you, I'm so excited. My audio, my podcast has reached number two in Switzerland and just this yesterday, it reached number two in Australia, number four in Switzerland in business news. And also in Switzerland, reached the top 155, so top 200 in all news internationally in Switzerland. So I'm going up against, the big time players, and I still reach the top of the charts. So to me, if you're in the top 200, that's considered, they start charting you then. And that's a big deal for me. And then reaching two Top 10 in like 20 different countries, I've done that in business news. So very exciting. So those listening on audio, thank you so much. With all the censorship, it's such a bright light knowing that there are other avenues where my show is really growing. And so thank you so much. And my website too is really taking off with all the different articles that I post. It's grown by like 100 times. So thank you. Even though my YouTube is tending to stagnate, everything else is growing. So it makes you wonder, huh? But let's get into this amazing show with Kim Conrad. I think you're going to find her to be, everybody can get something out of this show. And it's such a perfect timing for rebuilding your life for the New Year's, dealing with all the traumatic things that we're dealing with, and still coming out with more unity, with more strength, and figuring out a way to make all of this positive in our lives. So let's get into my interview now with Kim Conrad. Kim, thank you so much for joining the program.
I'm really glad to be here. Thank you, Sarah.
Well, you are so highly recommended, and I think it's so perfect for the New Year's. You have rebuilt your life three times, and I think a lot of my audience will relate to, if not, you know, rebuilding, they'll relate to one of your stories for sure, as far as having to rebuild your life. And I think it's such a remarkable message, especially with the New Year's and everything coming up, that people can get some motivation from it, I believe. Can you talk about, you know, kind of an overall what you do? And then I was hoping we could go through each kind of rebuilding that you went through.
We can. Overall, what do? I work, I play, I like play with a purpose is what I call it. But I really work at all levels. So it'd be mentally, physically, emotionally, you want to call it spiritually or energetically or whatever your words that fit you. That it's all part of who we are and the life that we lead here. Becoming comfortable with being uncomfortable, becoming comfortable with letting go of who we thought we were, conditioned to think we were, to now be who we're designed to be really truly better than we've ever been, to in essence be a caterpillar that really does become the butterfly. I think that's one of my messages, to be a living example that no matter what you've been through, and I've been through a lot. So no matter what you've been through, how can you make the learning and the value greater than any cost? That you be like a phoenix rising truthfully from your heart, your soul, your well-being, and realign better than you've ever been, which means letting go of anger. Doesn't mean it's not appropriate sometimes, but it's... it ends up being more costly to me if I hang on to that. So how to create better cost, better value than any cost would be what I would say. Yeah.
Well, and I think so many people can relate to that message and are struggling to get there. And maybe it takes courage to just take that plunge. Can you talk about your first time that you rebuilt your life and what happened and why and how, and give us a story?
Well, that first time is I was actually assaulted or raped, if you will, by multiple assailants before I was out of grade school. And I chose to keep it secret to protect my family because of what they threatened to do. And it came at great cost to me physically, keeping secrets. And I've always been fascinated by what makes us tick underneath it all. And my awareness of energy and choice. And even if there's an overall sense of feeling unsafe, that if you're sitting in a place or standing in a place and you actually are safe, to take time to really experience throughout your whole body, not just a head trip, okay? Because this is wonderful, but if we live up here, then we really don't have what I call whole body knowing, or that experience that we all have when we go, I got it, have an aha, it's through our whole body. And then our whole life can shift. If we're only living through our head, then things don't work so well. Your whole life usually doesn't manifest. So I began looking at my diet. I began looking at the way I thought about things as much as I could. I was quite young.
How old were you?
I was 10.
So at 10, did this assault just keep continuing because you kept it secret?
There's several answers to that question. It was a singular occurrence. And yet, when we're raped, and that can be mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, when we're raped, we actually usually begin to rape ourselves of our own value. Okay? It's an action that changes the metabolic makeup that lands into the cells. And I want to say here and now that all of this is reprogrammable, okay? You're not doomed to existence forever. There are now many different practices, some of which I use with myself and clients, such as emotional freedom technique or tapping or psychological kinesiology. And the two key ingredients when I work with myself or somebody else is a willingness that to really become different and better, or what you're seeking, and readiness to let go. Because sometimes when we have a lot of health issues or things, the family or the group that we grew up in, that can become a way to get attention that you can't get otherwise, you know? And so our identity gets wrapped up in understandable survival mechanisms. And no matter what your survival looks like, to know that it's very masterful because you're sitting here looking and listening and watching this, okay? That your survival is very masterful. Then there comes a point where your cost becomes greater than benefit. And if it's all right to say this, I call it the oh shit school of opportunity. where it's oh shit, and then there's a huge opportunity for learning. And a lot of the growing can be where you can notice signs earlier. So the cost or the 2x4 or Groundhog Day doesn't have to become as great as it used to need to be to get you to finally go, okay, I'm done, I'm ready, whatever it takes, I'm ready. And to know that we are not the true essence of who we are is not our thoughts, is not our programming, okay? It's the blueprint that's underneath it all that is made of this incredible miracle of the universe, you know, that this magnificent miracle of the universe. I think in order to be born, the odds are 1 in 400 trillion. I mean, if we just be with that for a minute, who's ever sitting here has made it through the crises of embryological development and was born and sits here, and you can listen and see and hear and feel that we're not those thoughts. We're not that programming. We're not the imprinting. And all of this stuff that can feel like an emotional hurricane or a psychological hurricane, that we can find that center of it and then expand that center of it so the rest of it falls away.
Now, how much of this were you able to consciously think about when you were 10? I mean, how did you, you know, get through it at such a young age?
I've done decades of working on this. And I've gone through a lot of different things because I questioned a lot of it too. I buried it. I wrote a piece called Separation is Your Savior. I buried it. And it got so deep, one of the lines is, I could even begin to sleep. Now, when I look back, I had a lot of awkwardness. I had lots of stuff that didn't make sense, where I would pull away, or I was at a party in my late 20s, I think. And there's the limbic part of the brain, where if there's even as little as, or even less than 10% of somehow it is similar to a traumatic incident, okay? And I've also been at the wrong end of a gun twice, all right? So similar to a traumatic incident, then our whole being can shift into as if it's happening, even when it's not, okay? And I didn't have a lot of clues yet to understand this, you know, kind of flying blind, and yet I tend to be a very determined soul. And that when I was at a party and this guy was kind of drunk and on a woman's arm, and the way he walked up to me, the way they walked up to me, I was standing there and I had buttons down my dress and I froze. Fight or flight, right? And I froze. And I looked down and I couldn't speak. I couldn't move. And I watched him begin to touch the buttons on my dress. And all I could do was watch him. I froze. And it was, what the heck is going on afterward? What happened? What the heck is this? And there was enough similarity to whatever it was, to what happened, that I simply froze. The advantage of that happening, and nothing else happened, they went on their way. And I was in shock about being in shock, okay? The strength and the power of that is that it really caused me to go, what the heck is going on? What's going on? And I would have great success, and then it'd be like pulled out from underneath me. And it was when I chose that I couldn't, because I hadn't got my handle on it yet, hadn't got my finger on it yet. Whatever it is, I don't care what it is, whatever it is, I want to deal with it. And I want to handle it so that I can really be who I came to be.
At this point, did you did you bury it so deep that you were unaware that it even happened?
Consciously unaware, but I had all of these signs. And I, even when I said, I don't care what it is, and I started having flashbacks after I said that, I started having, and I've done, like I said, tons of work and research for decades. Okay. And I want to share this with your audience, that this is not shared lightly. And I don't make this claim, this experience. Is that I could do all kinds of reading, and my body would read about all these horrible things, and even in news about terrible things happening. But there were only certain times that my entire body would respond as if it was happening again. Viscerally, every cell. And then one of the biggest things that occurred after, which we'll get to the third time, the head injury that I sustained, a very serious one in a car accident. I was laying on a table with a brain integration therapist doing work on my brain because circuits got thrown around and misaligned and separated and all that stuff. So she was doing her work and I was laying on the table and my body, there was no emotion in it at all. And I'd done tons of work up to this point. My body began to literally, legs, hands, arms, fight off multiple attackers. I watched my body reliving what I had gone through. And when we were done, my therapist said, do you know what that was about? And I went, yes. And I explained it to her. And while this was happening, I was getting pictures of what had gone on. And if I'd not done the decades of work, it would have likely been a much more scary situation. But yeah.
And how did you actually recover from that? How did you rebuild? Because my understanding is some of those really traumatic, severe events, they scar you, but you can, you know, heal that scar. And obviously it affected you for a long time. How did you build, make that scar a stronger area in, you know, scar tissue is stronger. How did you do that?
I would say that it's obviously step by step, and you can only do as much as you know about and trust the process. That when you get a calling to go the first step, you trust that. In your own personal, you trust that. Now, may it be because it is a common thing that, you know, scars make you stronger. I want to bring in, it's like when you build a road, okay, and you drive down a lot, the road gets stronger. It's like neurons, neurons that fire together, wire together, and neurons that no longer fire together, no longer wire together. So that the what we focus on, we create more of, and what we don't focus on kind of doesn't have the energy to sustain itself. And there are wonderful videos you can even watch online of actually neurons that build and neurons that fall away. And now with neuroplasticity and epigenetics and a whole bunch of things, there's documentation that this can occur. The procedure, if you will, or the process would be really, there's some basics that I can share. And then it's really about listening to the innate knowing and the wisdom of you. And I would say if you've been through anything and you haven't gotten support, to really get some support to go through this. If you've had this kind of thing happen, because you don't know what you don't know yet. Okay. And you don't necessarily have the processes yet. But if you have the choice and the readiness and the willingness, then really interview lots of people, look at a lot of stuff online, and listen to your body as to where it feels comfortable. And you trust your own instincts and that you participate in the speed and the process of your own recovery. It's so step by step, and just know that no matter what flashbacks or what experience your body is going through again from the inside out, to really look around you and go, it's not happening to me again. It's really not happening again.
Because people relive that trauma, right? And that's, if you don't deal with it, will you continue to relive it, or with triggers? Is that what happens? You bury it, you relive it with triggers, and you can't control it?
Everybody is a little different. So, and everybody likely is going to be doing everything they can to find ways to control it or ignore it or bury it or whatever. When we don't process through it, and it used to be 10, 20, 30 years ago, because this happened, you know, I started working on it 20, 25 years ago with flashbacks. So reliving it, it ends up stuff, you end up experiencing it again. Sometimes the words, I'm very much about words, because we create our world with words, we create our experience with words, and we literally double meaning sentence ourselves every day with what we say and how we say it. So when we say relive it, my body has a greater experience of, oh no. If I say I may experience parts of it again as it leaves me, then I know that if it's set up right, this potential for processing it means that those energies are leaving me. I don't have to go through it anymore. When we don't really deal with it, then it's living in us, however much we're consciously experiencing or not. It's really running around inside of us. And what if you could be free? And how fast that happens? And do I have a thought about it? Can I connect with it? But it doesn't run my life anymore. It's not in charge of my existence. And way back when there was
And
a
that's the
time.
point, right?
Yeah. I mean, to really.
I mean, the point is to have the freedom.
Freedom, and who can you become through it? That happened. Okay. So now who can you, the grace, who can you become through whatever's going on for you and come out more whole and more amazing and more incredible than you've ever been?
Well, let's talk about your second experience. Okay. Which is another thing that a lot of people can relate to. It's very different, but it's something that happens to a lot of us. Can you explain what happened the second time?
That, I think, was in partly caused from keeping secrets. The main crux of it, though, is that I was misdiagnosed medically. I had hyperthyroidism, which I take a thyroid supplement now, and it's more holistic. It's a compounded supplement. I don't do well with chemicals. I'm one of those more physically sensitive folks.
Well, can I ask you one thing? Because you're doing a compounded supplement, thyroid. And some people have asked me, I've had some listeners say, you know, we've brought it up before. There are a lot of pharmacies that will compound medicines for people, like even vaccines. So you don't have those chemicals and it's so much healthier for you, right?
Well,
I mean, that's what you figured out. Can you just explain that real quick so that there's a little tidbit of information?
I'm going to create a little foundation to say some people's bodies, there's no negative in any of this. Some people's bodies are like garbage trucks, okay? They can eat and drink and do anything and they drive down the road. Some people's bodies are in between. And some people's bodies are like mine. One doctor one time called me a Ferrari. I said, oh, I thought I was a Porsche, but he called me a Ferrari, okay? So really the key is listening to your body. And in compounded, I've tried levothyroxine or Synthroid and I did not do well. Those are chemically, those are created thyroid. Then I tried Naturethroid, and I still wasn't doing as good as I am now. Then I tried a compounded thyroid that for my body in tablet form versus a capsule form. In tablet form, I still wasn't absorbing T3. There's T3, T4, okay? I wasn't absorbing T3 very well, but we didn't know that yet, except that they had to keep upping the dose of T3 in the tablet. I then switched to a pharmacy that did compounded in a capsule. And I took the same dose as I had before, but my T3 went way, 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 way over. Realizing that I was finally absorbing T3 as well as T4. So I've ended up with compounded thyroid without any other chemicals, and we adjusted my dose, and it's been like a new lease on life. So compounded pharmacies, and you, I would say, don't assume, but really check into their practices. Usually compounded pharmacies, to even be that, they're extremely high integrity. But I would ask and learn. And yes, for me, compounded, in this case, thyroid is my only experience. I'm not on any other meds. And I didn't even know you could do vaccines compounded. That's really cool. That has been much better. And there's not the side effects.
Yeah, with vaccines, you can eliminate all the preservatives that really a lot of times make those vaccines very harmful. You know, but the preservatives is what, so they can have the shelf life for the average person. And that's what's killing us. You know, I mean, you got to look into each one. For sure. Okay. Keep going now with your story. And that was a good little sideline, because I've had a couple of listeners ask me about compounded pharmacies and I wanted to discuss it real quick here, but keep going with your story. It's very interesting.
Okay. So that was a misdiagnosis. And I actually, as a teenager, had been diagnosed with mental issues as a depressed adolescent, and which is not really what was going on. And that created all kinds of havoc in the family. But later on, I found out indeed it was hypothyroidism, which is my mother's side of the family. I mean, it doesn't mean you have to get what your parents have. But I think keeping secrets created some Achilles heel And my father's side had had diabetes, and I've never gotten had diabetes, but I've had hypoglycemia, which some people I found believe, some people don't. The fact is, though, that I was very affected by sugar, whether it was natural sugar or processed sugar. So I learned to clean up my diet, and I didn't go on as much of a roller coaster, emotional roller coaster. And I did a lot of work over the years. I didn't even eat fruit for 40 years, and I can now.
Wow, that's really great. Okay, so it was more of being diagnosed, because there's a lot of people that are medically diagnosed wrong, or they just can't figure out what's going on with their body. They can't fix anything. No solution works. And it could be like it's just not absorbing. I mean, there's all sorts of things, but you kind of have to get out of the box and think about things differently. Is that the conclusion that you had?
There's it's multiple. There's willing to be out of the box. There is what's the training of the doctor that you're listening to? Would you also go to a naturopathic doctor? There's something that really was this something that happened earlier this year for me. Last year I heard about something called functional medicine tests, which is now a new era of medicine, which gives you a whole range of knowledge that you wouldn't have had before, which is how do you process vitamins? What about minerals, metals, all kinds of things? And I found out, so I recommend functional medicine tests, but really talk to different people and find out how trained they are, what do they charge, what's the range of it, so you really get the best for the money that you're spending because it's not covered by insurance at this point in time.
Of course. Okay.
I know most of the things that have helped me through all this are not, and so it's how do you do that? But what happened for me with functional medicine tests, there were two life-changing things that came out of it for me. One is that I found out and I learned that there are two chromosomes in one of my genes that don't process B vitamins. So most of the B vitamins that I was eating, even in my food, I'm not physically designed to utilize them. And that can lead to a host of things. You know, I think it's been a struggle for me to get well, and that's likely I'm one of the key culprits. So what I do now is I take what's called methylated B vitamins, and we're in an era where 50 or 100 years ago, all of this stuff wouldn't have been possible. We're in an era now where I can get high quality methylated or predigested B vitamins. And my joking thing is, I won't ask by whom. I'm joking. That's not true. George, Ethel, Harry, no.
I didn't even know they offered
Digested
pre-digested,
B vitamins.
like it so it really helps you digest the
B
stuff.
vitamins is called, yeah.
Didn't even know that
It's
existed.
actually pre-digested. So it takes you it takes you on the other side of those initial steps. It's called methylated B vitamins. B6 is the only one, according to the latest research, that you can become toxic with. So like vitamin C, if you take extra B vitamins except for B6, then you'll urinate it out. Okay. You'll urinate it out. So I began just listening to my body. Now, I've been practicing this for a long time. You don't listen from your head, you listen from your whole field. You listen for your body. And I began to take, and I still do, some higher doses of B vitamins, not every day, but I just listen to what my body wants. And that would be a whole course in teaching how to really listen. But I think most of us know when we get nervous, we go up to our head. You know, when we get concerned, we go up to our head. But yet there comes a time when most of us, if not all of us, have known that we needed to make a decision, even if it was challenging. And that sinks into our whole body. And we just know that I need to leave this job or it's time for me to complete whatever. And it's that being in your whole body knowing that I'm referring to. So once I started upping my vitamin B intake, it was like another lease on life. It was like, wow, I had no idea. And the other piece that I found with functional medicine tests was that I was mercury toxic. Now, as a kid, I had lots of cavities and stuff. And I think my diet was a little funny at that time. My parents did mostly healthy stuff. But I think I went to bed, I understand, drinking a bottle of apple juice, which they just didn't know is not the thing you do. And so I started having mercury fillings, which is what they did back then. You got mercury fillings. So 25, 30 years ago, I had all the mercury taken out of my mouth. And I've tended to eat a lot of fish. So the only thing I have no mercury in my mouth, I haven't for decades, was that I've stopped eating fish at the moment for about 7, 8 months. And then I'm going to have another mercury test, functional medicine mercury test. And my naturopathic doctor says that I don't seem to have mercury in my system anymore. And I went through a wave with my naturopathic doctor where I had been eating fish, but I showed up with mercury again. And we think my body was finally able to go deeper and cleanse out things that had been in my body for decades. And now I don't have, yeah, I mean, when the body all of a sudden finally can, it begins to take care of itself at deeper levels as it's able to, because life is designed to create life. Life is not designed to kill you, you know?
Your body, when you allow your body, because your body's, the immune system, the things is so great, it's there to help you. And so when you can free it from dealing with other issues, it can focus on the next issues, right?
Right, right.
So okay.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, let's get to the third life-changing, because this is the one I think that really put you on the map.